This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. By DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Huff & Son's Funeral Home in Hillsboro. By CTI Tech. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Welcome to Sports Saturday. Merry Christmas. And this time next week, Terry, we'll have our holiday tournaments behind us.
It will be one of the busiest weeks of the entire basketball season with the holiday basketball tournaments in full swing, because some tournaments don't start the day after Christmas, but the second day after Christmas, all the tournaments are in action, and there'll be ball games out the wazoo.
Absolutely. And we will have our live coverage from the Carlinville Holiday Tournament starting the day after Christmas. And I think it's going to be one of the better boys tournaments we've had at Carlinville for quite some time.
They're back to brackets. And Litchfield got the number one seed because the Panthers have been off to a terrific start. Southwestern is in the tournament this year. And you have to like that.
Calhoun in.
Calhoun's in. That's another great addition there. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a terrific tournament. And, of course, on the girls' side of things, you've got the top two seeds being Carlinville and Staunton Mount Olive. So, should be a pretty good tournament.
And a number of years ago, Darren Deneve made the switch to have a championship session.
Yeah.
So the girls' title game, the boys' title game go back-to-back, which will come up on Saturday the 29th, a week from today. So actually, I said they'll be behind us. They won't quite
be behind us, but
we'll be set for championship night.
We'll be set for championship night. 6 o'clock for the girls' title game and about 7:30 for the boys. And that'll be the night where the house gets packed and, you know, it's a fun time. It's a fun time at Carlinville. During the holiday tournament time.
So. Good luck to all of our teams who will be participating in holiday tournaments coming up starting the 26th. Of course, Nokomis, they are in none of that. They will practice, and as always, they'll come out of roar in the second half of the year.
They always do. They always do. And, of course, this week, along with the preparation for the holiday basketball tournaments, the big discussion has been the football playoff reconfiguration into the district-type formats, which is set to go into effect for 2021. And that has caused an awful lot of cussing and discussing.
Some consternation.
Consternation,
yeah.
Yes.
And there's been some strong opinions. And like with anything, the people who are against it or upset usually speak a little louder in these situations. And the folks against it have let their voices be heard that they are not happy with the decision. And it was close. We're going to have Dave Kane coming up here around 9:15. Hopefully we'll catch up with Dave Bates around 9:30. Of course, he's been in this football thing for a long, long time. So Dave will have some good thoughts for us on the changes here. But it's not taking effect till 2021. It's going to be for varsity only. And I think that's been one of the two big things that I've heard people complaining about the most are the fact right there that is varsity only. So freshman and JV football are now on their own in terms of scheduling, because will they just keep playing in normal conference setup? Will they play the same district schedule? There's not really much to be known about that at this point in time.
You can complain about that, but it's already in place.
Right, but that's one of the big concerns that people have is the freshman and JV scheduling. It'll just be a little bit more work.
And you got to remember that 90% of the reshuffling for all conferences was done strictly for football. It wasn't done for virtually any other sport, or very little part of the reasoning was done for basketball or baseball or scholastic bowl, whatever else you compete in. It was all done for high school football. And I think sometimes that we forget there are other activities that do belong within a conference type setup, and it's not just football. So, but, you know, from the standpoint that, hey, up to this point, it's worked pretty well. You can understand why.
The old, if it's not broke, why are you trying to fix it? But the fact is, for some schools in different parts of the state, it was broke.
It was broke.
You know, like the teams over in the western border, they were playing a lot of Missouri schools. Teams over in the eastern border having to play a lot of Indiana schools. So, yeah, for maybe, you know, in our neck of the woods, it wasn't broke. It was working fine. But when you're part of a statewide organization, you have to look out for the whole.
Yeah.
And like we said, for the western and eastern schools, there were some problems that the districts will fix. Now, the other big complaint that has been pretty consistent is the two non-district games.
Right.
Everybody is really caught up with these two non-district games because they don't affect your district standing. So when the playoffs come out and there'll be eight districts per class, the playoff structure is not going to change.
No,
it's still going to be eight classes.
256 teams.
That part is not changing. You will know your class the whole year. That part is
going
different.
In for the first week of the season, you'll know what classification you're going to be in.
And everyone's going to like that.
Yeah.
But the two non-district games, so you can go 0-2 in your district, and that will not affect your district standing. If you finish top four in your seven district games, you're going to get into the playoffs no matter what your two non-district games were. So you hear a lot of people saying, well, they're basically scrimmages. I get what they're doing, but I think that's a bit much because in other sports, you play non-conference games.
Sure.
And do they affect your standing? Not really. Now, every school makes the playoffs in other sports. I get that.
Yeah.
But my thought is, this helps you. Because take a Carlinville this last year, for example. If this system was in place, they could have gone out and scheduled the best possible team in their two non-district games that they wanted to find. And if they lost, it wasn't going to affect their standing. But what do we always talk about with Nokomis basketball? They go out and they play 3A schools and they play 4A schools to start the year. Now they take their losses, but they're better for it because of the competition they played. You know, iron sharpens iron is the old saying. So you have the ability now to go out, challenge yourself in a non-district game and not have to worry about that loss keeping you out of the playoffs. Because so much of it, Terry, had become the drive for five. We got to get the five wins. How do we get the five wins? And that caused the conference jumping.
Sure.
It caused a lot of the problems that eventually led to the districting that we're going to see.
And I've read some comments from coaches where, oh, it's going to tear up the conference. We've had so many conference affiliations. We love our conference. And I don't doubt that a bit. But you got to remember that most of the conferences that are in existence right now were not in existence 20 years ago like they were, because there were other conferences and these schools have realigned themselves because they wanted to get out of certain conferences because they couldn't win enough games to get into the playoffs. And so this whole thing has been manipulated strictly for football. And I think, I'm willing to give it a chance and see how it shakes out. It may be good. It may be bad. You don't know.
Time will tell.
If it's that bad, schools can always vote to rescind it.
Well, it only passed by 17 votes.
Yeah.
So. And the thing is, I get schools being upset about conferences that they've been associated with for a number of years going away. And you hear, well, conference championships are gone. True. But you know what has arrived? District championships.
District championships. Yeah. That's part of the state.
And it's not like this is the first time it's ever been done. Missouri has it.
Yeah.
They've had it for a while. Other states have it. So it's not a new concept. It's new to us in Illinois, but it's not like Illinois is the only state that has done this. It's going to work. Now, people will still be upset.
Sure.
You know, some schools are going to get hurt by this travel-wise. A school like Edwardsville, outside of maybe in O'Fallon, there is nobody enrollment-wise outside the Chicagoland area for Edwardsville to play. So Edwardsville is going to be traveling a lot.
But they face that anyway.
In the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
Their regular season now will be a playoff type of travel schedule. Because when they get in the playoffs, they're playing the Chicagoland schools. They always do.
They might see a lot of Saturday games.
That's a distinct possibility. Yeah.
And so, I suspect that we're going to see, like we do in the subsectionals for basketball seeding, to where in the districts, there's probably going to be, in almost every district, one team is like, where did they come from?
Yeah.
Why are they in this district? Because it's enrollment and geography, but enrollment is number one.
Sure.
So, you know, there's going to be situations where one team in a district is going to be outside of the area of most of the district.
And I'm wondering, will the district area for, say, Class 1A be the same district area for Class 2A, or will that be a different, will it be gerrymandered, you know, kind of like the political districts, you know, will it be a little bit different shape, a little bit different area, you know, how will these districts actually be designed?
I suspect that it will, because it is going to be based on enrollment first, and then geography comes in second. So there's going to be situations like that, gerrymandering probably not so much, but where the enrollment, with that being the number one factor.
You know, I'm just going to throw that out there that, you know, I don't know how they're going to draw up the districts, what the plans are, but you could certainly manipulate districts.
And the IHSA will be determining all of this. But they have the set parameters of enrollment. So that is what they will look at.
That's the priority.
That's the primary thing. Yeah. And we've talked about it for years, Terry.
Yeah.
There are so many blowouts.
Yes.
So many lopsided games in football. This should fix part of that.
And when they went and basically doubled the number of schools in the playoffs a few years ago, that's when you got to the blowouts. And you know, yeah, you got five wins and you're playing a 9-0 team, and that's when you get the blowouts. And is that really good for the tournament? I don't know.
No. But even in the regular season, though, like when you look at statewide scores, there's
not
a lot of football games that come down to the wire.
No.
I mean, there are. It's not that every game is a blowout.
True.
But there are a lot of games that are decided by the fourth quarter.
Yes. A lot of running clocks.
Yes.
Anymore.
And so this district proposal, I suspect, is going to fix some of that when you have schools playing equal enrolled schools.
So basically you've got a built-in schedule. I mean, you've got 7 weeks of district teams that you know you're going to play, and you know what classification you're going to be in, you know what you're going to be up against, and there's a lot of, whereas going into the final week of the season, you know, you could be a high 1A or a low 2A school. You won't be wondering about that anymore. You will know before the season starts where you're going to end up and what classification.
That's what I personally like the best about this, is knowing when you start the year, we're 3A.
Yeah.
We're going to be 2A. Doesn't matter what schools around us do make the playoffs, we're going to be a certain class at the start of the year.
And as you pointed out early on, Tim, anytime there's been a change, you know, humans are just basically reluctant to change anything.
We don't like change.
We don't like change. We are inherently set in our ways. But this is going to roll in here in a couple of years, and we'll see how it shakes out. And who knows, maybe 5 years from now, people will have their minds changed and say, hey, you know, this is a pretty good method. We'll see.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dave Kane from the Springfield State Journal Register about the football districts when Sports Saturday rolls on.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much, as we are talking about football districts here on the Saturday before Christmas. And the South Central Conference was no. They were against it. Carlinville, Hillsboro, Litchfield, Staunton, Greenville, Vandalia, Pena all voted no for the measure. In the Sangamo Conference, it surprised me a little bit when we talked to Dave Kane. We'll talk to him about it and see if he was surprised. But North Mac, Auburn, Pleasant Plains, Monroe, Forsyth all voted yes. Williamsville was an emphatic no on the proposal, but those are the kind of the two premier closed small school conferences in our area. One adamantly opposed to it. One
kind of 50-50.
50-50, but more on the pro side.
Right.
When you look at, I was surprised Murray Forsyth was for, but I guess you shouldn't be, because they're such a state program that they're going to really go out and schedule somebody excellent in those non-district games. Because, you know, they're tired of finishing second at state. What a problem.
Yeah.
What a first world problem. We're tired of finishing second. Too many seconds.
Well, and it would be, it's going to be interesting to talk to Dave Bates eventually.
Yeah.
And see, you know, Dave, as you mentioned, has been around for a long time and has seen a lot of football. And it's going to get interesting to see his point of view on why he thought it was a good idea.
And when I talked to Dave the day after, enrollment had a lot to do with it. He said, I had to look out for Auburn and do what was in the best interest of the Auburn Trojans.
Yeah.
And so that's why they voted yes. And I believe we have Dave Kane with us right now. Good morning, Dave.
Excuse me. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing good. And, you know, it wound up being an interesting week. It's not often that the week before Christmas that high school football takes center stage, but it certainly did this week.
Yeah, it did. It was kind of ironic. I guess it was Tuesday morning, I think, when word came out. I lose track of the days. Whatever morning it was when the vote came out, I happened to be at Sacred Heart Griffin. I was talking to Ken Leonard, you know, the football coach there, about something, and his assistant came in and said, "Well, the district thing passed." And Coach Leonard is not real crazy about the idea, but he immediately took out his phone and you can like talk into it, you know, like for a reminder, note to self. And the first thing he said was, "Call Derek." meaning in this case, they want to make sure that they still play Rochester, you know, as a non-district opponent, you know, in a couple of years. It was, like you said, you know, the football playoffs have been over for a few weeks, but here we are, you know, talking a lot about football, even though it's not going to really, you know, take effect, for a few years, but it's a major, major change.
And I think one thing that people are going to have to think about is take a look at how this is going to shake out, how this is going to be organized. And then as they think about the process, they're going to come up with little hitches in the get along and have to make some adjustments even before this thing ever kicks in 2021.
There's this immediacy of, you know, this week, hey, this is going to happen, but, you know, it's not going to really happen, you know, for a while. And in the span of 2 or 3 years, you know, given what we've seen happen in recent years, not just with high school football, but, you know, with just, high school districts in general across Illinois, where we've had a lot of, you know, a lot more co-ops and consolidations, and even, there's not a lot of them around here yet have gone this route, but even the really small schools, some schools, maybe more so up in northern Illinois, who have gone to eight-man football. Mm-hmm. Illinois School for the Deaf, I know, is playing eight-man football. So you wonder between now and say 2021, what are things going to look like as far as what schools are still going to have their own programs and how many more are maybe going to be co-oping together and how is that going to affect, you know, districts and who plays who and all that. So, and, you know, another thing, and maybe you guys mentioned it, I don't know, and, you know, Dave Bates was the first one to bring this up, things like officiating and, lining up officials. He pointed out that, and I'm sure a lot of schools and conferences are in the same situation. He said that, right now I've got crews booked through 2024, you know, for Sangamo conference games. Well, after a couple of years from now, that's, unfortunately, that's going to go by the wayside. And he kind of wondered, well, okay, who's going to be responsible, for arranging officials? Is it going to be each school? Is each district going to maybe have an officiating coordinator? There's just a lot of, like you said, Terry, little things, that go along with high school football that, well, okay, how is it going to affect this or this? So.
And you mentioned the eight-man football, Dave. And one of the proposals that got no attention was the fact that the Eight-Man Football Association is now going to have a postseason conducted by the I-8FA. So it'll be interesting to see as years go along for a variety of different reasons, which have nothing to do with district football, if eight-man football does start to become more of a norm, especially for the smaller schools.
Right. I mean, and you look at, like, you know, the Prairie State Conference, you have a lot of, small schools, 1A schools, that, you know, have maybe had to try to go the co-op route. But even, like, say, the Bunker Hill Mount Olive thing this year, even going that route, it's tenuous at best. So you wonder, the eight-man thing, especially if there will be a statewide playoff thing offered by the IHSA, will that become more appealing to the really small schools? Will that make it a little more viable? Between the eight-man aspect and the district thing, there's you know, a lot of things on the horizon. It's going to be interesting.
Well, and we mentioned officials earlier, but if you continue to have the 256 teams in the regular football playoffs, plus you add in eight-man football playoffs, that means you need that many more officials. And where are you going to get these guys from? You know, I think that's one of the little details that become a big detail the closer you get to this thing. So.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm being facetious here. I'll be honest. I don't know if I've ever actually watched even on TV. An eight-man football game.
Yeah.
I don't know if those games normally have, you know, like five-man crews like 11-man does or not. So I don't know if that would have any bearing on it or not. But yeah, and we worry also about, you know, just the shortage of officials. It's a growing shortage. And, you know, they talk about, with football, a lot of times these five-man crews, you know, work together for years. And if one guy's going to retire, then a lot of times all of them retire. So it could be a, as they say, a sticky wicket for that aspect for football officiating.
Talking with Dave Kane of the Springfield State Journal-Register about the districting of football started in 2021. And, Dave, the two conferences that we see the most of, the South Central and the Sangamo, both closed conferences. The South Central was opposed across the board. The Sangamo, they had some splits. They had Williamsville. They were very emphatically a no. But North Mac, Auburn, Plains, and Marrero Forsyth were all yes. Were you surprised that as many teams in a strong closed conference like the Sangamo voted for the proposal?
Yeah, I was somewhat surprised, and I'll be honest, I am not, I was not able to track down the entire conference who voted which way, but, Dave Bates, you probably saw it, he was very candid about it. He said, several years ago, he wouldn't have voted for it, on a personal level. He was very involved in trying to, round up a couple of extra teams to create a 10-team conference for the Sangamo, so he had kind of a vested interest, in the Sangamo conference and, keeping it intact. But he said, in their situation where Auburn's enrollment has gone down in recent years, and he looked at it from all angles, and he just felt that, going the district route, even though it could mean playing a lot of schools, mean the end of a lot of rivalries for Auburn, even though he would, play a lot of new schools and stuff, but he thought that was the best, it was in Auburn's best interest, I guess you would say. I'm sure, some other, there's just, Illinois is such a diverse state. Not just for high school athletics in a lot of ways, but you have a major, major metropolitan area like Chicago, but then you get downstate and you have, the small school districts. And there's just a lot of diverse interests, diverse situations for schools, and as it pertains to football and school enrollments and stuff. So you can see how, like you said, a lot of teams in closed conferences would want to keep them intact, but then other schools like Nokomis, Paul Watson talked about it. He said, the Prairie State, it's kind of, it's in a state of flux all the time because you have these small schools, and he said, the district situation would offer a little more stability in terms of scheduling. So it just kind of depends on a certain school situation, certain team. But yeah, it was a little surprising. Like you said, Tim, the schools that are in the, those 10 team closed conferences, there was a little more, I guess you would say, diverse voting than you thought there would be.
And the Comas is still looking for a week 7 opponent next year because South Mac dissolved. So that's why they voted, part of the reason why they voted yes for the proposal. And Dave, I thought it was interesting that Chris Rayner of North Mac and Heather Greer of Pleasant Plains both kind of echoed the same sentiment that it was inevitable. We felt like it was going to happen. Something was going to happen eventually. And so why not vote for it now opposed to, in some ways, maybe being just forced into it a few years from now?
Right. And yeah, that's, I think, again, given all the changes that have taken place and given how it's, affected certain conferences and, kind of, like you say, in a state of flux a little bit, let's get the ball rolling on it now, even though there are still a lot of unknowns. Let's, let's do it. We're just going to have to bite the bullet here and hope the IHSA, can get everything coordinated. You know, one of the interesting things, you know, a lot of coaches, I think one of the biggest concerns for some coaches is the scheduling of the two non-district games. Mm-hmm. Or maybe one, depending on how many, or I guess there are going to be some districts that might have nine teams. So in that way, you would play eight district games and only one non-district. But, you know, apparently the timing, at least the way the IHSA is talking, we won't really know who's going to be in what district for a couple of years. And they're going to wait. They're doing this these school enrollment things on two-year cycles now. And I think they just came out with the two-year, you know, enrollment figures and classifications for schools. But the enrollment figures that they're going to use for the new districts, they, from what I gather, aren't going to come out for a couple of years. So they have to do that first. Then they're going to put the districts together, and only then will coaches and ADs know, you know, okay, here's who's in our district. Okay, here's who we could go after, you know, for a non-district game. And that, it, you know, at least on the surface, that doesn't seem like much turnaround time to be able to do that. I mean, I'm sure they're all, you know, making phone calls and making initial contacts now, you know, with potential, you know, non-district opponents. But it's still, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be kind of a tight spot, I would think, for scheduling-wise, at least, you know, initially.
I just don't think coaches and athletic directors know enough about it right now to really make any judgments or any plans as far as, you know, potential opponents that don't count against the district competition. So I just think it's one of those situations where we're going to have to be patient and see how this thing shakes out. And I think the IHSA's got to do a little selling here. I think they've got to, you know, do a little promoting and get it with the schools and you know, as close as the vote was, yes, it passed, but it didn't pass by much. So they've got a little selling to do.
Right, and they do have some time to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would think maybe between now and 2021, you know, maybe when certain things are put in place, you know, they'll roll things out and say, hey, see here, I can't think of an example, but hey, we're going to do it this way. So, you know, hey, this isn't going to be so bad. You know, Terry, you know, you're old enough and I'm old enough to remember, you know, and I can't remember exactly when the IHSA announced back in the early 70s exactly when they were going to go to two classes,
right,
you know, for basketball.
1972 was the first year.
But yeah, I mean, 71, 72, yeah. But you know, this is kind of a football version of that. Like, you know, I'm sure back then there was like, oh, my God, you know, how is this going to look? Or this is going to be the end. This is going to be the end of basketball as we know it. And, you know, this is, you know, kind of that way on a football level.
Well, the late Chuck Rolinski from Toluca was the guy that really put that ball, thing in motion as far as a two-class system for basketball, and it took several years for him to, you know, sell the idea to the higher-ups, and eventually it came into being there in the 71-72 season. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, yeah, I think there's, right now that we've had this initial, I don't want to say shock, but just, you know, the initial, like, wow,
shock,
this is really going to happen.
Yeah.
And what if? But, you know, it's, like I said, it's not going to actually be put into effect for a couple of years. So, like I said earlier, it's going to be interesting just to see, you know, what things look like in a couple of years. You know, how many more schools are going to be co-opting. You know, I know, for, again, going back to the Prairie State, I know supposedly Pawnee and Kincaid South Fork are talking about possibly co-opting. You know, they're kind of neighboring schools. And, you know, you wonder, A, if that does happen, well, are they going to still include Lincolnwood, you know, with Pawnee?
Sure.
Or, and Fork has co-opted with Morrisonville and Edinburgh for a number of years. Well, are they going to take those schools in too? If they do, that could be a potential, I don't know, 2A or 3A program. So there's a lot of what ifs on the horizon here.
Dave, final thing for you here before I let you go. It passed by 17 votes, but what surprised me was not that 118 schools didn't vote, but that 69 schools voted and had no opinion. How can, if you vote, how can you have no opinion?
That's, well, you know, and I was kind of puzzled by that, you know, when I first saw the 69, I thought, oh, 69 just didn't vote or abstained or whatever, however you want to put it. And then, but then I noticed for some of those other proposals, you know, the total number of votes there, you know, were different. So it kind of puzzles me, you know, as opposed to just not voting,
yeah.
You know, why would you even vote to say, I have no opinion? I don't know. I don't know if those were non-football schools, but they still compelled to say,
then just
I have
don't
no
vote.
Opinion. They just don't vote. I don't know. Because you don't know it. You know, if you know, half of those 69 had maybe voted one way or another, who knows? Maybe it wouldn't have passed. I don't know. But it was a very, yeah, you're right. It was a very close vote.
Yeah, just and, a strange thing. Like on this, you've got an opinion. One way or the other, everybody has an opinion.
Yeah.
Like, just
right.
Voice it, yes
right.
or no.
Yeah.
But they
yeah,
didn't.
Yeah, that just kind of, yeah, that I bet that was a head. I guess we've, truthfully, over the years, we probably haven't paid as much attention to some of these proposals and when there have been votes, to look at and say, no opinion. Yeah, you know, so that was a head scratcher.
Yeah. Dave Kane, thank you so much for jumping on with us this morning and talking about the districting of football. It'll be interesting come 2021. Have yourself a Merry Christmas, sir.
Happy holidays, Dave.
Well, hey, you guys too. Have a great Christmas. I'm just going to work one thing in really quick. When
sure.
Terry approached me a few days ago about talking to you guys, he said, oh, we might talk about football districts, which we haven't. And he said, but who knows, we might even talk about the anniversary of Apollo 8.
Yeah.
And Terry and I are old enough to remember Apollo 8 on Christmas Eve 50 years ago when they first orbited the moon. And, you know, Terry, you and I were kids.
Yeah.
But that, I remember that almost more vividly than Apollo 11. And I know that sounds strange, but I mean, you'd never, I don't think we had maybe ever had been able to see a quote unquote moon rise.
No.
Before. I mean, an Earth rise, you know,
no.
above the, that.
It was such
a
ballsy move for NASA because, well, you know, what had happened, the CIA had satellite pictures of the giant rocket in the Soviet Union that was ready to launch. And NASA says, well, we better reshuffle things. And they only had 4 months to change the plan and go around the moon. And what they didn't know was that the N-1 rocket in Russia blew up and basically blew up and destroyed the launch pad. So, and this is the first time we actually left Earth orbit. So it was incredible, and then of course the reading from the Book of Genesis on Christmas Eve was pretty special.
That it was very. I mean, I was a young kid then, but I mean, when you look back, it was very moving. It was a very human. It was, you know, the ultimate in high technology, but at the same time, it was a very human moment when they read from the Book of Genesis.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, you know, I'd have to think there's going to maybe be some documentaries or something. These next couple of days, I'll have to make sure to watch.
If you get on YouTube,
I just wanted to throw in that old man.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw in that old man moment for Terry and I.
That's right. Just don't ask Steph Curry about it, though.
I tell you what. If you go on YouTube, there's a series of shows called Moon Machines, and you can watch those. And those are very enlightening about how the Apollo program came along. And Moon Machines is what they're called.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Great.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, hey, guys. Hey, it was great to talk to you. Have a great Christmas.
You too,
I'm
Dave.
Sure we'll see you soon.
All right. Sounds
Thanks.
Good.
Okay.
Dave Kane of the
Bye-bye.
Springfield State Journal Register. Yeah. And just don't talk to Steph Curry about the moon.
That's right. That's right.
Just don't do it.
He was only kidding, though, right?
Oh, that's right. He's only kidding.
Yeah.
Turns out he got lambasted and made fun of it. Oh, I was just joking.
Scott Kelly, the man who holds the record for days in space. You know, he spent almost a solid year in space. And got on him
just a joke.
Yeah. Right.
Joke. Kidding. What, you took that seriously?
Yeah.
Kidding around.
Curry doesn't really shoot three-pointers, does he?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's just a myth, right?
It's a myth, That doesn't really happen.
It was all special effects.
A series of special effects.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. Okay.
Trying to make contact here with Dave Bates now. Of course, the longtime Auburn football coach and the athletic director. And
Tim, this boils down basically to taking care of schools because of enrollments, shrinking enrollments. I think that's really the ultimate goal for the IHSA because they know schools are dealing, especially the smaller schools, are dealing with enrollment problems right now. And they want to make sure that, you know, schools are similar in size and give the schools some help as far as scheduling and such. So.
And, you know, it's a statewide proposal, but it does come down to an individual decision and choice. You have to look out for your own school. And that was the point that Dave Bates made the day after it passed was, he said, I have to look out for Auburn.
Right.
You know, it's my job as the AD and coach of Auburn to have Auburn's best interests and hearts. And their enrollment has been going down. And so, and you've seen a lot of the smaller schools that they voted for the proposal for that reason.
Right. Right. And in rural areas, the enrollments are going to continue to fall. I mean, that's a problem that's not going to go away. And
we saw it this year. I mean, at the start of the football season, basically every coach we talked to outside of a few, our numbers are down.
Yes.
And that's going to continue to be the problem. And that's why, you know, I mentioned it today. No one paid attention to the other proposal. It was proposal 22 that allows the 8-man football association to have a postseason.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see in, you know, a number of years if that becomes more popular.
And, you know, and another thing that I think you have to think about, Tim, is not only declining enrollments, but is the fact that, you know, you've got to have some medical personnel available. There are some other costs associated with running a football program, and you just wonder how much strain is put on a school district to accommodate all these requirements. It's quite a strain. And football draws well. The IHSA people will tell you that because of the football playoffs and the basketball playoffs, that funds all the other postseason tournament sports and activities for all the rest of the activities in the IHSA. So it's important to keep these things alive and well, but that's tough decisions to make.
And from a coaching perspective, perhaps no one better to talk to than longtime Auburn head coach Dave Bates, and he joins us now. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey, going pretty good. Thanks for a few minutes of your time here over this Christmas weekend. And I guess when I talked to you the day after it passed, you made it very clear you had to look out for Auburn. It's your job to look out for Auburn, and that was why you voted yes.
Yeah, you know, I was torn. I see both sides, and I think both sides have very valid arguments. But at the end of the day, I kind of had to look at Auburn and where we're at as a football program and where our school is at enrollment wise. And I just kind of felt like it was good for us right now. Our enrollment kind of has gone down every year for probably the last 10 years. And we're getting to the point where we're going to be in that 2A mark and down the road could even, you know, tip right towards 1A, 2A. I don't know if we'll ever be 1A, but 2A, I think we will, just because of our enrollment. And the nice thing about this was we would be paired up with schools our size. 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't have voted for it. We were kind of in our heyday, so to speak, and I think I would have wanted what we have. And I'm not knocking Sangamo, because we're in it, and Sangamo is a heck of a conference, and football-wise, it's probably the best conference in 2A.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I kind of had to look out for us, and that's why I did it.
And, David, like you said, it had to be a tough vote for you because you were very instrumental in getting the great Sangamo Conference put together for football play.
No, I was. I was an old Prairie State guy and really felt the need that we needed to play, you know, bigger schools, and, you know, so I pushed it pretty hard, and wasn't just me, but again, looking at the clientele of the Sangamo, you know, a lot of the schools that are north of us are just getting bigger, and we're not, and so I just kind of felt like this might be something that would be attractive for Auburn, and that's kind of why I did it.
Yeah, the ability to play schools your own size and have the ability to go and schedule a school that's maybe a bit bigger that won't count against you in a playoff berth race is certainly attractive.
Yeah, and you know what? everything we do here, there's going to be some negatives, and I know one of them for us is probably going to be some travel, because there's not a lot of 2A schools around Central Illinois. There's a lot of 3A and there's a lot of 1A, but we have to go south and east a lot to, and I think we probably would go south to get the 2A school. So it kind of has a double-edged sword, but again, this felt like it was good for us.
And Dave, with you being the athletic director, too, you're going to get in a lot of different realms of this. And the officials we've hit on, you know, you're out to 2024. A lot of schools are out to 2024. But this is varsity only. So how do you see this affecting the freshman and the JV seasons with their scheduling?
Well, you know, honestly, I think the JV and freshman stuff is kind of evolving. You know, in our conference, for instance, I'm not so sure that the majority of schools next year will just play one game a week because of the new rules and be kind of like a fresh soft. I'm not saying some will play freshmen, because you can if you want. So I see that kind of evolving and changing to where down the road, unless you have a big freshman class, a lot of teams are going to be playing one game of underclass in football, and I didn't think that would ever happen, but it's happening. So, and, you know, you don't necessarily have to play the team that you play varsity. You could, but you kind of got to wait and see how things pan out.
Yeah. Dave, you've seen, obviously, so much change over the years in your time at Auburn, and I guess you mentioned it, 10 years ago you wouldn't have voted for the proposal. 20 years ago you probably couldn't envision that there wouldn't be just massive numbers of kids playing football.
Yeah, well, it's evolved. You know, our numbers have dropped significantly. And there's a lot of reasons why, I think. Some is enrollment. Some is probably the concussion thing. Mm-hmm. And some, quite frankly, we have some kids in our school that just won't, that don't want to do it. And it has changed. It was never like that before, but it has changed some in the last few years. So I don't know.
Yeah. Dave Bates, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. I know it was a tough vote for you, but it'll be interesting come 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
All right. Dave Bates, thank you very much. Merry Christmas, sir.
You too.
All right. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. As we're talking about the districting of football starting in 2021, and earlier this week we were in North Mac for the Staunton North Mac boys basketball game, and at halftime I had a chance to talk with North Mac athletic director Chris Rayner about the decision for North Mac to vote yes, and this is what Chris had to say.
The first thing we did as a conference at our fall conference AD meeting, we kind of went through how it would affect everybody in the conference. And I really got the feeling from everybody in the conference, maybe outside of Williamsville, that everybody was kind of for it because of the fact that we didn't really know where football was going. With the conference jumping and things, with people looking outside the state for schedules, and it kind of felt like everybody was kind of thinking something was going to happen. Let's, you know, have a say in what's going on. So after that meeting, we came back and said, you know, here's the proposal that's probably going to be on the ballot. We talked to Coach Bowman. We met as an administrative staff and kind of looked at how is it going to affect us as North Mac. And kind of that's the lens we looked at it through and probably the best way to do it. And we decided our district, by what they're projecting, is going to have us with some county schools, which we really liked. Maybe not quite as much travel. And we just thought this gives us a say in what's going to happen down the road. So we went ahead and voted yes for it.
There's no perfect system, and there will be unintended consequences with the system when it goes into effect in 2021. But when you're part of a statewide organization, I think for the state as a whole, it's going to be a good thing.
I do, too. And I think, you know, with change, there comes some uneasiness with everybody. But I think if you look at the states around us that use this district system, it's worked well for them. It's just going to take some time getting used to it. And we don't have the model in front of us. And I think when you don't see that, it really makes people nervous.
You know, Chris, I just thought of this from the North Mac perspective. Districts probably were an easier thing for you guys to get around because when NorthMAC came into existence, people said, well, Girard and Verdun can't go together. That can't possibly work. What about the rivalry? What about the tradition? But it's been a beautiful thing.
Yes, it has. It's been good. You know, the Sangamo Conference is great for us. And like I said, there's nothing taking away from that. And we're in a great spot. But what happens if the Sangamo Conference loses a couple teams? And then we're in the same boat some of those other schools are, and we just felt that this would be the best bet for the entire state.
And I've heard, you know, a lot of people are angry about this, and I hear a lot of people saying, well, now you have two scrimmage games that don't mean anything. That's not really true, because you have the ability to go out, play competition if you're really good, one, go schedule a team that is really good, and if you lose, it doesn't hurt your playoff standing, but you're always getting better by playing better competition.
Yes, and I think that's, you know, I think that's the way teams would want to schedule that. You know, Coach Bates and I have already talked that we're a natural rival with Auburn. They'll probably be 2A, we'll be 3A, so we will probably play them week one or week two every year just because we've always played them, and then try to pick up another solid team just to see where you're at.
Have you done any projections, and you might not want to speculate on the air, about who you think might be in your district? It's tough to tell right now.
It is tough to tell. Just looking around here, I would assume Carlinville would probably be in our district, assuming they'll be 3A. I've heard we'd probably go south, maybe Alton Marquette, East Alton Wood River. But then I've also seen that we could keep Pleasant Plains, keep New Berlin. So some of that Sangamo would still be intact. So we're hoping we see some teams that we've always seen and then pick up some new ones as well.
How do you see it affect? And you mentioned you don't know how the Sangamo Conference will shake out with the football being out. But how do you think it will affect the other sports at NorthMAC?
You know, it's kind of scary to think about it. You hope that the conference will stay together for the rest of the sports because it's, as an athletic director, it's nice to know who we're playing each week and those types of things. But it is an unknown. I mean, will Moroa want to still drive over here on a Tuesday night for a basketball game?
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope that is the case, because I also know with the districts, it doesn't affect your JV and your freshman schedule.
Right.
So if we keep our conference, I think we'll have to talk about this, but maybe our freshman and JV games will be with our conference schools. So
So from an AD perspective, you might have a little more work for the next couple of years getting everything lined out.
You know, and the officials are, you know, I'm scheduled out with officials through 2024. You know, are the IHSA going to assign our officials, or is it something we're going to have to do? So that's all things will be worked out. But like I said, I'm just interested to sit back and see. I'm really hoping that they show us our district here as quickly as possible so we have an idea.
That was Chris Rayner, the athletic director at NorthMAC High, with his thoughts on Thursday night at halftime of the boys' game. Hats off to the band, by the way.
Yeah, the band was doing a great job.
Give me your thoughts as well.
I'm just going to throw this out that I think, and I mentioned this off the air, that 5 or 6 years from now, we're going to look back at this setup for the high school football playoffs, and you're going to have more people pleased with the way that it's running, more so than people are pleased with the four-class basketball system right now. Because I don't know that there's that many people that are that happy with the four-class basketball system, because that was put into place to make sure they had crowds, to make sure they had better competition, and quite frankly, it hasn't worked.
No.
I
think you are 1,000% correct in that thinking, that in time, the districts for football is going to be much more powerful than the four-class basketball
system. And, you know, and what killed, the thing that hurt the basketball tournament was the fact that you lost that quarterfinal round on that Friday.
What a day.
With those eight teams, because that was a you-have-to-win day. And, you know, to win one, to play two the next day. And when that day went away, and, you know, once you won a super sectional, you were guaranteed a trophy. That just changed the whole complexion of the state basketball tournament.
I remember as a kid, whether, you know, back in the day when it was still at Champaign, and then the first few years there when it was in Peoria, it was hard to get a ticket.
Oh, yeah.
I remember getting up before the sun came up and going and waiting in line to get a ticket to get in, sitting in the very top row of the Peoria Civic Center and at the top of the Assembly Hall. But you were in the stadium.
So anyway, I think that down the line with shrinking enrollments, I think schools are going to appreciate the fact that they know for 7 weeks out of the nine, they're going to have opponents.
Yeah, and I really do think we're going to see more quality games come out of this. Because, I mean, you heard Dave Bates mention it. His enrollment's going down. Mm-hmm. The enrollment of the schools north of him and the Sangamo going up. Yeah. And we've seen Auburn struggle a little bit the last few years by their standard. You get them against like-size schools, and those struggles are not going to be there.
You know, you get schools that are closer to the larger cities, like the Rochesters and Pleasant Plains, you know, adjacent to Williamsville, to Springfield, they're going to continue to grow. But in the rural areas, they're going to continue to shrink.
That's right.
And that's just the way it is.
So thanks to Dave Kane of the State Journal Register. Thanks to Dave Bates for jumping on this morning as well here on Sports Saturday. Football districts coming in 2021. Tito, take us home.
Well, don't forget we've got holiday basketball tournament starting on Wednesday here on WSMI FM 106.1. Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. And from all of us here at WSMI Sports, have a great holiday.